Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, the college football matrix, Dave Bartu. Washington has lost its defensive coordinator to the University of Texas. Oregon lost its defensive coordinator to Boise State. Dave Bartu here to talk about it. Bartu, let's start with Washington. How big a blow is it?
Oh, my God, dude. I can't imagine being a Husky fan right now. I mean, it's just brutal. Brutal. 4 years ago, you're in the playoffs, and in the last, 12 months, you lose top five coach in college football over the last 10, 20 years. Then you replace him with a guy with no coaching experience who goes out and hires an offensive coordinator whose college career is subpar, and now you lose your top five, probably number one defensive coordinator west of the Mississippi, top five in the country to Texas. I mean, it's just... it is amazing to me how quick things turn in college football. And if you're a Washington Husky fan, it's like whiplash right now. I mean, it's I'm glad I'm not a Husky fan. Love college football, but that is a tough pill to swallow today.
How good, you know, when you look at Pete Kwiatkowski, how good a coordinator is he?
Dude, let me tell you. I have told, look, Sarkisian listened, okay? And yeah, I'm okay. I'll be a little bit bitter as an alumni. Oregon has not brought me on as a consultant because I would have told Mario every damn day for the last 3 years to go hire Pete Kwiatkowski. I have told three head coaches in the SEC, all top 15 recruiters, go hire Pete Kwiatkowski. Fire your guy, or if he leaves, go hire Pete Kwiatkowski. This guy has been number one on a radar on the West Coast forever. He's Dave Aranda. Okay, now, is he going to be successful at Texas? I don't know. But his level, his potential, his ability to adjust, his ability to handle 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 plays a game and still be efficient, I think it's an unbelievable hire for Texas and an unbelievable loss for Washington.
Dave Bartu, the college football matrix, is with us. Oregon loses Andy Avalos to Boise State. They're looking for a coordinator. You've got Washington now in the business of a coordinator. You know, how different are those searches, given that Jimmy Lake is a defensive-minded head coach and Mario Cristobal probably skews a little offensive?
I don't know how different the searches should be. I guess so. From my standpoint, when I work with head coaches in a situation like this, it is always best available. Okay, when you're talking X's and O's, when you're talking offensive and defensive coordinator, it is best available. I don't care if he's from Mississippi or Minnesota or Maine. You take that best guy. Okay, so Mario on the offensive side, Lake on the defensive side, to me, it doesn't matter. These are two teams that are top 20 recruiters that are probably the two or the three richest teams in the Pac-12. There is no reason not to go best available, okay? There's no next man up here. It is best available out there, and I think they should be looking for the same guy, in my opinion. I think both teams, from a brand standpoint, from an ability standpoint, from a recruiting standpoint, aren't that far apart. Sure, there's levels of argument you could make there, but in terms of overall, let's say, top-end, desirable, where you want to go, I think it's pretty even there. So, to me, they're looking for the same guy. My only question is, are they going to find the best available?
When you talk about same guy, who in your mind pops up?
Man, oh, shoot. I wish I was working for these guys because then I could just pass on this question altogether. Okay, I'll give you one guy on the West Coast that I think both of them should have already called. Okay, this is the best guy in the Pac-12 that is gettable because he doesn't make a lot of money, and he is absolutely X and O fantastic, and that is Tim Drueter at Cal. Right now, call that dude, and he's also great against the pass. Okay, that would be an upgrade for Oregon, and it'd be a real Washington is not getting an upgrade. Okay, Washington fan that's listening, you are not getting a defensive coordinator upgrade. Period. Okay, you're just trying to get close. But Tim Drueter is absolutely excellent. What he gets paid at Cal, I think, is easily, probably even doubled by Oregon or Washington. That guy should have been called already.
Who do you like who's not a West Coast guy? But I like that hire, by the way, because he has given Oregon especially fits. Like, you solve kind of a addition-by-addition thing there. If you're Mario Cristobal, you get a guy who's owned you and given you 17 points a game when you play him to come over and be your guy.
Right. If you can't beat him, join him. You know? And it's kind of like Derek Mason when he became a free agent, when he got let loose by Vanderbilt. That is, we don't, you know, hiring is always a risk. You don't know who's going to be successful or who's not. You know, nobody would have guessed Scott Frost would be struggling at Nebraska. Nobody would have guessed Billy Napier would be the next man up at Alabama. You know, there's hiring risk. So I always want to see what is the bar of potential on the upper end? How high is the ceiling? And then how high or how low is the floor? With Derek Mason, for example, you had an elite ceiling. I think Auburn is going to be Alabama's biggest competition in the SEC next year. So, you know, as far as it goes with trying to identify guys, you know, whether they played you or not, is find that guy that's consistent. They're there, and they're all scattered throughout all of college football. They don't have to be in an elite program to be an elite play caller. You just got to spend the time or at least hit the buttons on the spreadsheet to figure out who's doing what against quality competition.
Dave Bartu is with us, College Football Matrix. How much does the defensive coordinator position, how much does that need to fit what you do on offense? Meaning the synergy between your D coordinator, offensive coordinator, sort of like Nick Aliotti and Chip Kelly, how much does that marriage have to work?
For the most part, a lot, because defensive coordinators usually have a skill set they have a sweet spot, all right? Good example, okay, Kevin Steele at Auburn. Gus Malzahn hired Kevin Steele. Gus Malzahn kept the up-tempo that he had with Cam Newton. Told Gus, look, Steele needs to be facing less than 60 plays a game. You have to slow the offense down. He slowed the offense down. The defense became elite. Because for Kevin Steele, as long as he's facing between 50 and 63 plays a game, he's a good marriage. You start going up-tempo against him, he absolutely falls apart. So when you're looking at, let's say, a defensive coordinator for Oregon, or a defensive coordinator for Washington, you're kind of looking at you'd like the same guy that basically has the ultimate set of tools. From the standpoint of, you know, if you play Washington State and Nick Rolovich is throwing 90 plays a game at you, he can handle it. You're playing Wilcox and Cal and they're throwing 50 plays at you, they can handle it. That's what was so special about Pete Kwiatkowski, is he could handle everything. It didn't matter. Every marriage was great for him. So I think when you're looking at Washington, if you can't get that ultimate tool guy, then you need to find that guy that is really good for the offense you want to run. So with Washington, you have a guy, you may say, look, I just need a guy that is awesome at facing 55 to 60 plays a game in that range, okay? So you got like a Kevin Steele. You go to Army and you get a Nate Woody, who is awesome at under 55 plays a game. You know, so you can start focusing in on that. With Oregon and Mario, you got to start figuring out, okay, if I can't get that best guy, then I need a guy that can defend the normal amount of plays that our offense, which gets off the field quickly, generates for the opposition. So you're talking more 70, 75 plays per game. So I feel that unless you get that super elite guy, absolutely, that marriage between the pace of the defense and the pace of the offense is very, very important.
Should there be concern, Dave Bartu, that the Pac-12 is losing what was its highest paid assistant coach?
Well, I mean, isn't that a constant concern now? I mean, it's SEC money, it's Texas money, it's Oklahoma money. They're competing against big money. Now, the concern with Kiyakowski is, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the sports program in the Pac-12 with the biggest amount of revenue is Washington. So, if that's the case, not only did the Pac-12 lose an unbelievable defensive coordinator, but it was lost to big money that is bigger than your biggest revenue source in the Pac-12. You know, so people ask, it's kind of a digression here. People always ask me if there's a rule or something you change in college football to make it better. You know what I'd do? I'd put in salary caps. You want to try to level out college football? Put in a salary cap and max number of coaches. You know, the players are one thing. I get that. All right. But when you start looking at the amount of money some of these programs can spend, when you go to Clemson's staff list on their website, and there are two, not one, there are two football executive chefs on the freaking list, then there's probably a huge spending differential there. You want to know why the NFL and the NBA and MLB are so competitive? Oh, obviously, it's talent being equally dispersed, but it's also the money. So you want to change something in college football, especially that benefits the Pac-12, put in a bloody salary cap for these guys.
Yeah, I'd like one in the NBA, a hard salary cap, because I'm looking at the NFL right now, Bartu, and I'm seeing Kansas City and Buffalo. I'm seeing Green Bay and Tampa being the biggest market left playing. And from an NBA standpoint, that doesn't happen with a soft salary cap in the NBA. But you're talking about coaching salaries. I think it's a great point in that, you know, here was the million-dollar assistant in the Pac-12 who's jumping to Texas because, hey, that's the big leagues when it comes to money.
Yeah, but by comparison, so Kiyakowski, like I said, in my opinion, number one defensive coordinator in Pac-12. He was making $1 million a year. Okay, he's been there for how long? 4 or 5 years now at Washington. Okay, the new defensive coordinator at Mississippi State, he has called plays for 11 games, and he just got a raise to $1.1 million. That's at Mississippi State after calling plays for 11 games. He's not even close to the highest paid guy. So you compare and contrast the amount of money that they can do what they want. The SEC can continue building not just recruiting monsters. If they knew what they were doing, they can build coaching monsters all the time with the money they have.
Dave Bartu is the College Football Matrix. You can follow him on Twitter at CFB Matrix. Dave, let me ask you, you know, the movement you're seeing nationally, Sark to Texas, do you like that? Do you look at Texas and go, look at the money they're investing in coaching and special teams coach at $1 million? Are they now a contender given their footprint and the fact that they're printing money?
Oh, their special teams coach isn't that good. It's funny you bring that up. I'm actually working. Before your phone call, I was on the line. I had a conference call with a Big Ten staff. We're working with them on their special teams coach search. And I pulled Texas up because they just hired the Ole Miss guy because he's quote-unquote a guru. And I'm like, so this is a guy you hired that has given up a net negative 8 blocks over the last 4 years on punts and kicks, and this is a guru? So when you mention Texas, let's throw out the special teams because that guy ain't no good. But on the flip side, okay, you got Kiyakowski, you got Sarkisian. All right, this is right now that offensive defensive coordinator pairing top 5 in the entire country right now. All right, recruiting has been top 10 at Texas for the last 5 years. There is no cupboard bear here. And how good were they? 2020, I know it was COVID year, they were number 14 in offensive scoring efficiency. They were number 39 in defensive scoring efficiency. They upgraded their offensive coordinator. They upgraded their defensive coordinator. This is right now. right now. If you're a Texas fan, you are 180 Washington fan. You are so excited right now. It is absolutely unbelievable, in my opinion, what a good offensive and defensive coordinator can do. The big question right now for Texas, this is your 800-pound gorilla in the room. Can Steve Sarkisian head coach? We know he can offensive coordinate, but can he head coach? Because if he can head coach, the Red River rivalry might be a playoff spot game for the foreseeable future.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. I have the same question about Jimmy Lake. Am I wrong for asking that question? Because I like him as a coordinator. I like him as a recruiter. I'm not sure as a head coach. It's a different job.
Can we even give him a grade? He's coached, what, four games? We can't do anything with him. We have no idea what he is going to do. So you got to look at coaches from various vectors of performance. And so with Jimmy, we got four games. We really don't know. Has he been able to keep up recruiting? That would be one of your questions. It's always going to be recruiting. Can he hire good coordinators? I think his hire of his offensive coordinator last year was subpar. I don't like the hire. So I'm not going to pass too much judgment on it yet because I want to wait to see who the DC is. Now, if the DC is bad, then we might have a hiring problem. And, you know, in my opinion, about 30-35% of coaching on average, overall performance is coaching. The rest is recruiting. If he can't get that part right, I don't see how he's going to meet the expectation of Washington Husky fan.
I want to focus a little bit on Oregon. Joe Moorhead, small sample size. Again, I loved him in the red zone. I didn't like the way they flip-flopped the quarterbacks in their bowl game. Maybe that's on him. Maybe it's not. I'm not yet seeing elite play calling from Joe Moorhead, but am I being unfair? Is the sample size too small?
Well, a little bit. I mean, I like to look at 2020 as if you won a game, you get credit for it. If you lost, we don't count those. You know, a lot of it was just, it felt like extended spring ball, you know. And I think for the Pac-12, you have to look at it really from that standpoint. It was 5, 6, 7 games of practice. You really can't take a lot away from it at all. And if you look at the Pac-12, I think most of the athletic directors felt the same way. There was who was fired? Was there anybody fired outside of Sumlin, who absolutely deserved it, by the way? He ran that thing right into the frickin' dirt. But I don't think anybody else made a single change at all. So I think with Moorhead, I think what you have to look at the floor and the ceiling. Remember how we talked about the high bar and the high floor? When he was at Fordham in Pennsylvania, when I talked to Penn State about offensive coordinator, Joe was the number one FCS coordinator on our radar. The efficiency he ran at Fordham was phenomenal, and it was for several years. Went to Penn State, phenomenal efficiency for several years, okay? Then Mississippi State hired him. He became a head coach. He lost that OC mojo. Mississippi State didn't like it. Okay, they fired him, and he ends up at Oregon. So you look at his career in terms of his highs and lows and average scoring efficiencies at these stops, it is all very above average. So you look at the numbers, what Oregon put out this year from a scoring efficiency standpoint, they were very good. But to actually try to take something away or grade him on what he's done so far, or really anybody in the country that their first year as an offensive or defensive coordinator was in 2020, I think we got to really take it with a grain of salt and probably not even count it for or against anybody.
Dave Bartu is the College Football Matrix. I got just a couple minutes, Dave. The idea that coaches should be promoted from within, what do you advise programs like Oregon? They've got Joe Salavea on their staff. They got Keith Hayward on their staff. I think Salavea is probably the more attractive candidate to Mario Cristobal. But there is a temptation to bring in an outside coach. When you have an opportunity to bring in a good coach, you go out and get one, right?
Yeah, you do. But at the same time, I think this comes down to the ability of a head coach to evaluate and make the decision on who's going to be calling those plays. All right. If you have a head coach that historically doesn't make good hiring decisions, he's probably going to make a really bad promote from within decision if he goes that direction. Now, you look at Mario. If you're a Duck fan, this is why you have to have hope that whatever he does is going to be good or best available when he makes that decision. He hired Joe Moorhead. By the numbers, that is a very good hire. He hired Andy Avalos. By the numbers, we had him top five on West Coast defensive coordinators to take. Good hire there. All right? You go back to FIU. This is a guy that had hired Scott Satterfield. Unbelievable. This guy hired Todd Orlando, defensive coordinator, now at USC. Awesome. So I really feel that I'll put my tinfoil Ducks hat on for a second. Whoever Mario hires, I feel that even if it's higher from within, I feel it has a very good chance of being good because his past hires were good. But certainly if he hires somebody from within that has no experience whatsoever, we really can't pass judgment on it for probably a year or two to see how it turns out. It's a much bigger risk because you don't know what it is. So if he does go that direction, you hope it's the right one, even though there's a lot of really good experienced guys out there.
Dave Bartu, you're the best. I appreciate you. You always bring the heat.
Love you, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, the College Football Matrix. Coming up, the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Every day on the show, we do the Culligan Water Cooler Report, brought to you by Culligan of Oregon. Meet me at the
water cooler. Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't ask me about Major League Baseball to Portland. That's good for the MLB to PDX people. Portland Diamond Project put out some stadium renderings. They've got some momentum. They got a bunch of signatures. A lot of people excited about the possibility of baseball to our state, Major League Baseball. But a lot of people also looking at the pandemic and wondering, will this ever happen? Here's what I think about this. And I have asked the Diamond Project and others to give me sort of the forecast or what's going on. And I'm not getting there's nothing going on. What I'm getting is we can't talk about it, which is a very different thing. And I think that's something to be hopeful about if you're a Major League Baseball to Portland proponent. The collective bargaining agreement in Major League Baseball is up for negotiation this year. The owners are not going to be talking about expansion while that is happening because they want to plead poverty. That's what owners do when the collective bargaining agreement's up. So they're pleading poverty. I think after that CBA gets signed with the Players Association, after they say, oh, we have no money, there was no fans at the stadium, after all that, I do think an infusion of a few billion dollars in their pockets becomes...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.